On the last February 13 in Korea, there was a meaningful movie released titled Man Sent by God. It is a fact-based movie and reveals the reality in North Korea Christians' life context. Even though this movie is Christian-related, because it shows the human rights, United Nations, England Parliament, and Korea Parliament showed this movie on the last March 19th. During the movie, we feel the dark mood and sad situation through the movie. In the movie, the Christians are killed even though they pray for God's help. So we can ask this kind of question. If God is alive, why this kind of thing happens? Same questions we may have in our current life context, especially in our Christian life context, I believe. By relying on God, we expect God's help and protection. But in many cases, we experience a difficult moment. We suffer, we live painful life, and we experience unfair situations in our life context. So this text is crucial and must be or might be the answer to our question, if God is alive, this kind of things, why this kind of thing happened? With this text, I want all of us be able to see what we shall see and expect in the specific life context. With that expectation, let's get into the text. The text is very long, but we can divide 6 parts. Verse 1 and 2 to 3 and 4 to 7, 8 to 12, 13 to 15, 16 to 18. So 6 parts. So let me just briefly explain the things. King Nebuchadnezzar set an image of gold. The height of it was about 90 feet, and the breadth was about 9 feet. It is higher than, do you know Kim Il-sung statue in North Korea? It's higher than that. And the temple, do you know temple, the Olympia Zeus, Zeus in Greece? Very tall pillar we could find. It's taller than that. And it's very similar height to the Statue of Liberty in New York City. From toe to head, it's almost same. Very similar height. Very tall statue the King Nebuchadnezzar made. And the second part is verse 2 and 3 is another background. The first background, he made the image. And second background is he called every leaders or rulers of Babylon. So he called it in detail like satraps and the prefects and the governors and counselors and the treasurers and justices and magistrates and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image. Right? So he called everyone there, every leader in Babylon. They are representing the all people in Babylon. So they came. That is another situation. But we have a question here. Where is Daniel, by the way? We will see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, 3 friends of Daniel. But Daniel was not here, and you know, we could find him. The many scholars interpret that Daniel was, as we know, was in the palace of king, right? So he's second person in Babylon at the time. So if we remember that, he would not have any responsibility to be there because he is sort of a deliverer or herald over here. Now, do not have any responsibility to bow down before the statue. So he was not in the context. That's why his name we cannot find here. And then next background is from verses 4 to 7. It's like the people there should worship the statue. That is a commandment with condition. What is the condition? If not, the death penalty will be given to the disobedient. They should be put into the burning fiery furnace to die, right? At the time, that is a normal way to kill people in Babylon. So it's natural. So he put sort of a condition, if not, you will die. And then next one is from 8 to 12. With that 3 situations, image and people and commandment to worship. the situation. And then we don't know what happened there. But suddenly the Chaldeans, they are the same tribe of the king Nebuchadnezzar. Even though there are many people from different nations there. And as we know, Daniel came from Judea, different nations, right? But Chaldean, they got sort of a priority number one relation with King Nebuchadnezzar because they're same tribe. So the Bible continually said, you know, the Chaldean. The Chaldean had the right to approach the king, very special privilege. So they came to the king and they accused what? The three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They did not worship, bow down before the statue when they heard the music from the every kind of instrument. So that is the situation they face. The accusation for their disobedience was revealed before the king by verse 12. We can see the verse 13 to 15. The king responded to them. And he called them before the king. And the king asked them and then gave them second chance. So this is second chance. So if you are willing to obey my commandment to bow down before the statue, you will alive. You will be alive. But if not, you will be put into the burning fire furnace. He just to make sure that again. I believe the king Nebuchadnezzar remembered the special memory with these three faithful people. He experienced two kind of things already. First one, for 2 years, these three friends with Daniel, they ate vegetables and water, but their body and their knowledge and wisdom was much better than others. He knew that. And second thing is his dream. Daniel interpreted his dream. So based on those kind of past events, the king remembered them as special. So I think the king gave them second chance to obey. At the end of this second chance, we could see the question, like if you look at the screen there, and who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? That's the sort of arrogant question, right? The king believed himself as the powerful God. So even though he experienced God of Israel already two times, but he here expressed his argument, his power before them. If I decide to kill you, there's no one to save you, like that. Before this dreadful moment, look at, you know, the response of these three faithful. You know, their response are three ways. One is, if you look at 16, we have no need to answer you in this matter. We have no need to answer you in this matter. Think about that. Their decision was final. They decide and they will not turn back. And then, if this is so, if you said, who will deliver us from your hand? Our God will do that. That is the verse 17. Our God is powerful God to deliver us from or out of your hands. You know, we believe that. That's the second one. But third one is the climax or highlight of their answer. But if not, in Latin, I put that even if he does not, even if he does not. Some English translation put the whole meaning in this way. But actually, the original text does not have he does, just say, but if not. But, you know, we have the meaning, even if he does not, okay? That is the their confession of faith. O king, that we will not serve you, your God, or worship the golden image that you have set up. That is their final response. No more. Their focus in this response is not the result after their confession of faith. That's the important. You know, they focus on the things, the situation, but you know, they are stick to the situation alone Rather, they could overcome. They have the new eye, go through the moment, difficult moment, and back there, they could see God himself there. In other words, their focus is not the things around them, the situation, difficult things. Rather, he could see God himself as the key, or whom they should rely. So, their faithful confession is very meaningful and is encouraging us. But when I close this message, I want to tell you more about the meaning of their confession. Yes, their confession of faith is so great, amazing. They are not youth anymore. They grew. So the Bible said they are men. But still, they had the same faith in God. And they would not change. They did not change their heart to love God, to worship God, to follow God in their life. And even in this moment, they showed their faith in a clear way. So we may applaud them. Oh, they are so good. They are good Christians or believers. Yes, right. But we may follow this way, you know, after that. So we should be the same person or believer as these faithful, three faithful. That is normal way. Yes, right. That's true. We should consider their ways to show their faith before people. Important. But think about the possibility. How could they confess their faith in this way? Without God. Without God in them. Do you believe? Could they confess their faith in this clear way before the death? I don't think so. So we may change the way to look this event. Normally, we could focus on their behavior. Oh, they are so faithful. We need to follow their steps. No. Before them or in them, God was with them. Without God, they couldn't confess this kind of amazing confessional faith before people, before that. In Daniel, we could see continually the power of God behind the scene, behind the history, but he controls everything. We found that. Even in this special moment, very crucial moment, God was with them. So they were able to confess their faith before them. If then, what should we remember or have in our mind from this message? Their life context is a little bit different, actually totally different from ours, our current contemporary lifestyle. But think about our life context. Is it really different from theirs? As a Christian, we are living in the world with the people out there, unbelievers, and they are expecting something special from us. Sometimes we should show the difference between them, their life, and ours. Why? Because we are good? No. Because we are Christian. We are believer of Heavenly Father. So, because of that fact, we have sort of a responsibility, as they have. Before people, we should show them our powerful faith, or sometimes, you know, screening, or show them the power of God itself before them. But, that's true. But, we should not miss this important fact. That is this. How can we show our faith before them? How can you show the living God before them? How did these three faithful show their faith before the king, before death? The text shows us it's not them, it's not us. It's God himself who is in us through the Holy Spirit. In other words, if we just focus only ourselves and our ability to live out as Christian life in the world, the result is clear. We failed. But the text tells us, and Paul, the apostle, confessed in this way, we have a clear answer. Let me read Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. As we know, Paul was so faithful for to God and to his kingdom. He devoted himself for his glory, right? But he didn't mention that I spent all of my strength. It came from me. Rather, he said, everything, every good thing, good fruits came from God. It's not from me. So here he confessed that way. If that is true, then our Christian life is same, I believe. You know, even though we face many different moments, difficult moments, a hard situation, unfair situation, because we are Christian and they expect you are Christian, so you are okay, even though you are in unfair situation. At that moment, the key to overcome the moment is not from us. It's from God. As we know, Jesus Christ, who died for us, who saved us from our everlasting death and sin, is in us through the Holy Spirit, as God was with these three faithful people. So I would encourage you, even though we have many, many difficult things out there, and every day we could experience those kind of things, and we have questions like, if God is alive, why this kind of bad things happen to me? Please focus on God himself, who is the creator and savior and shepherd of our life in our tough life context. You know, ask him the help. And I believe, I'm pretty sure he will listen to our prayer and guide our life. You know, we will see the what is the better God prepared for us. God bless you. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this beautiful message. By relying on you more and by focusing on you more in detail in our life issues, we want to live the victorious Christian life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bless our life by encouraging all of us again in power and grace. Thank you again for Jesus Christ in us and his help forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.